introduce our first speaker, Edgar F. I'll now turn it over to Edgar.
All right. I'm not going to Edgar.
Hey, Edgar.
So, yeah. Sorry, I got distracted a little bit. Kind of been running around like crazy, you know, just getting settled in. And, you know, it's good to be at Hackna. I think the last one I made was the last one they had was 3 years ago. It was here at this hotel, and, you know, I got a lot out of it. And so I kind of recently just found out that I was going to do a workshop, and it's somehow it's always seems to work out that way. And, you know, my sponsor was like, hey, what time are you going to speak? And I'm like, what? You know? And this was a couple weeks ago, and he told me that I got signed up to do a workshop. And so he told me the topic, and, you know, which is kind of relatively, not, I wouldn't say easy, but it's, you know, addiction is a physical, mental, and spiritual disease that, you know, affects every area of our lives. And, you know, it got me thinking, and I was, so my clean date is November 22nd of 2013, and in a few months, I'll be coming up on 6 years. And I kind of had an epiphany the other day, and I was like, man, that's a long time, you know. A lot has happened since I, you know, got clean. And so I got clean, I was at the age of 21. So basically, I've kind of had to grow up a little bit in recovery. There's a lot of life experiences that I hadn't gone through that I get to go through clean. Like a lot of things, you know, like I bought my first car. I have a stable job that I can call a career. I have my own, you know, I just, the things that recovery has to offer, you know. Recovery has offered me the freedom, you know, to not use anymore. And not only that, but to lose the desire to use. Didn't mean that I don't think about it, but I don't have the desire and the urge to want to get high. And that's a blessing, because at one point in time, that's the only thing that was going on in my life was using. And nothing else mattered. The getting, finding ways and means to get more. Nobody mattered. It was total self-centeredness, self-obsession. I didn't care. I was a vindictive person. I was really mean. I was really, if you got in my way, you would feel how I felt. And that's just how I treated people, you know. And I was a really, really mean person, and which is the total opposite of what I am today. And I think about that all the time, you know, how much I've changed, and it's become a complete 180 from the person that, you know, that walked in the doors. And I always share, it's like, man, when I got clean, I walked in and, you know, my pants were sagging, and every other word I said was a cuss word, and I was pretty ignorant. And I thought that the world that owed me stuff, you know. I was pretty entitled, I should say. You know, I thought that I'm supposed to have these things, and I'm supposed to have them now. And I had a lot of character defects. I was lazy. I didn't want to work for stuff, you know, because I really didn't have to growing up, you know. That's just, you know, I had a stable, you know, family that I grew up in. And you know, I never went without, but it was just the choices that I chose to make that got me to where I ended up in Narcotics Anonymous, right? I didn't get here because, you know, say, you know, my life was going good. And I always share quick how I got to Narcotics Anonymous. So I was on my third DWI, and I've been getting in trouble with the law since very young. And so that was kind of normal in my life, you know, getting in trouble, going in and out of jail and stuff like that, you know, jail institutions, blah, blah, blah. You know, that was normal for me. I know that's not everybody's story, but so, you know, I think that my higher power, which I call God, put people in my life even when I was using, right? So I always look at how it was a set of events before I got clean that got me to getting clean. And so there was this lawyer, and I think about him all the time. I really do. I'm so grateful for him that he suggested that I should try a 12-step program. And at the time, I had no idea what that was. I don't have a background in recovery. None of my family's ever been in recovery. I've never even thought that there was such a thing. And so he's like, man, you should try this 12-step program. You know, and at the time, it was, of course, I was looking at what it could do for my situation. Not what it could do for me personally, but what could it do for the situation I was in. And so, you know, I guess he thought that he sent me to all Spanish-speaking AA meeting. And so I show up at this AA meeting, and I'm bilingual, so, but these guys are like South American, and like they're speaking different dialects, and they're like, man, you should probably go to the NA down the road. And so I'm like, all right. So I go to the Galveston Island group of Narcotics Anonymous, which is still my home group to this day, which is Gigna. And we meet at 2504 39th Street, Galveston, Texas, at 12 p.m. and 8 p.m. every single day. If anybody is ever interested and ever in the area and you want to visit our home group, that's the spot to be, you know, for me at least. And it still is today. Still is today. And I cherish my home group. I really do, you know. And I was told that if you take care of your home group could take care of you. You know, and I live by that today, you know. I really do. I believe in service work. I believe in giving back, because I believe that when I give back, it gives back to me as well. You know, it might not be materialistically, but I can deposit, you know, in my spiritual, you know, bank account or whatever you want to call it, you know, for later on when, you know, when I'm alone or whatever the case may be. So basically, when I think about the topic, it talks about how it affects every area of our lives. And I get to thinking about my family, and I get to thinking how I thought that I was only hurting myself, right? And so I thought that what I was doing was only hurting me, and I didn't realize that it was hurting everybody around me. You know, and when it talks about every area, it means every. Not only me, but the people around me. It affected my physical health. I was in and out of the hospital having seizures and stuff like that. You know, I was falling out. I was malnutrition, you know. I didn't eat. All I cared about was using, and that was it, you know. And nothing else mattered. You know, it really didn't. And so it makes me think about how I put, you know, especially my mom, you know, she was like kind of like my easiest victim, I should say, or, you know, she was the one that would tolerate me, but put up with me. And I remember, you know, coming home and, you know, she'd be crying because of the stuff that I had going on. You know, for me at the moment, I couldn't see it, but I think about it now. It's for me to cause someone else pain like that. That's total and complete self-centeredness. Me not caring about not even the people closest to me, you know? And same thing went for my dad. You know, he would just separate himself from me. And so today, through working steps and, you know, having time, and so throughout the 5.5 years, I've been able to distance myself and work my way out of that person that walked in the door. So I put a lot of time in between that. And so I've been able to rebuild a lot of those relationships with my family. And, you know, today, it's no longer what I take. I no longer take, you know. That's how I was my entire life. I was a taker, you know. Whatever you had, and whatever was easiest for me to get and use to my advantage, I would take it, right? And so today it's the opposite. You know, it's more of what I can bring to the table. You know, and nowadays, if my parents need anything, I'm able to take care of them in any way possible. You know, whether it be me being there for them emotionally or financially or whatever the case may be, I'm able to be there for them today. And, you know, that's a feeling that nothing else can give me, you know, but the program, right? And so, you know, I've of course, you know, I quit using, and, you know, I started to kind of regain some of my physical self back. And so I think about that too. You know, I think about when it comes to the topic, it's like, I was so beaten down, I was so worn down, you know, I was tired for like a year, you know? I was so tired, man, I'd get off work and I'd fall asleep in the car on the way home. I mean, I really would. And, you know, I was so worn down that I'd fall asleep in a chair. You know, I really would. That's how tired I was, you know? My body was so messed up, you know? And it's like, I think about this, like, how could I do that to myself? But at the time, I wasn't thinking that way. It's like, man, you know, just, I thought, well, I didn't think I was having fun because I knew I had a problem. I just didn't know I was an addict. You know, I think about that all the time. I was like, I knew I had, cause I used to always tell myself, you know, I'm gonna try to stop, you know? And I just couldn't. I really couldn't, man. And I think that if it wasn't for the things that had happened, you know, before I got clean, like, you know, getting in legal troubles and stuff that I looked at the time, like, why me? Like, why? I used to, you know, ask guys, like, why are you doing this, you know? And so I look at it now, I said, man, a lot of those things that I thought were bad were actually leading me to good today, you know? And so, and I think about that today too, you know, it's like all this, I've gone through a lot in recovery too, you know? I've been in and out of relationships, you know, that's kind of a big thing for me, you know? So there's been a lot of that. And then just a lot of self sabotaging my brain, you know, that eventually I'm like, man, why don't you just stop? Why don't you just stop causing all that stuff in your head, you know, going crazy? I mean, nothing's going on around me, but it's all in my head, you know? And so a lot of that, and then just a lot of different stuff, man, you know, a lot of life stuff. You know, I quit a job that I wasn't happy at. I was there for 5 years. This was just recently, too, you know, we were kind of talking earlier about what I do and stuff. And I mean, I still do the same thing, but I was at a job where I was making a lot of money, but I wasn't happy. And so I had to come to a point to where it's like, man, what matters more, money or happiness? You know, and that's hard, you know, because I like the shiny stuff, you know? And it was hard for me to make that decision. But through the program, it's like, man, I'm given tools and I'm given a support, well, not given, you know, I built a support group to be able to figure things out and talk to people about it instead of just making rational decisions. And it took, you know, this was over months' time, you know, that I made this decision, you know, and so I left that place and, you know, I went to a different job and I'm a lot happier now, you know, and so it's all, basically, it's all just life experience that I've had to learn throughout time, you know, being clean. And, you know, since I am, you know, kind of, well, since I did come in a little bit younger, you know, it was like, it was hard for me to understand that I had to go through that stuff, you know, in order to grow, you know. So I've shared, you know, that. So back in my home group, now there's a lot of young people, like a lot of people around the same age and stuff like that, you know, and just a lot of people young at heart, period, you know, and we have a really good, you know, we have a pretty big home group, you know, 20, 30 people, a meeting and stuff like that, you know, and there's a lot of old timers and a lot of people with 5 or less years, you know. And so when I got clean 5 years ago, me and Jimmy were talking before the meeting how the place was a lot different when I got there. And so basically, when I got clean, I was 21, and I was this little young Mexican kid, and I walked into the room, it was nothing but older white guys. And it's nothing racial, it's just what it was. You know, and so I got there and it's like, man, it's hard for me to relate to these older gentlemen, you know, and I listen to rap music, you know, and I walked in there sagging my pants, And I knew that, well, at least I felt like people were judging me, you know? And, but the thing about it was like, man, they're like, nobody ever told me to not do what I did. Nobody ever told me to not come back. Everybody just told me to keep coming back, you know? So eventually I was able to build relationships with people, you know? And you know, of course I found a sponsor, you know? So even with the step work with the sponsor, you know, it's like, it was hard for me to relate. It really was, man, but I did it anyway. I did it anyway because that's what I was taught. You know, that's what I was taught. It's like, even if you don't feel the connection, just do it anyway. And that's kind of how prayer started for me as well. You know, it's like, if you don't feel the connection with God, just pray anyway. And maybe eventually it'll catch on and the wheels will start turning. And that's how a lot of stuff has been in my life, you know. Sometimes, a lot of times I don't feel it, but I do it anyway. And I do a lot of things I don't want to do, you know, and sometimes it's like, man, I'm tired, man. I don't want to fill up the fridge at my home group because I'm a supply guy. And it's like, man, I don't want to fill up the fridge, man. It's 9 o'clock at night. I want to go home and take a shower and go to sleep. You know, I'm tired, man, but that's what I signed up for, you know. And my sponsor talks about commitment, you know, doing the position long after the excitement is gone, you know, not just because I want to sign up for it because it seems cool at the time, and then months later down the road, I want to do it no more because it's not fun anymore, you know. And I've learned to do that as well, you know. And so, being clean, not just being clean, but living the program, has definitely changed my life. It's given me the ability to do a lot of things. You know, what I mean, I picked up Randy from the airport, and we're kind of talking how. I'm not the addict that stays in the 4-block radius. I like to get out and about. I like to travel. You know, I've gone to many different places. You know, I met Derek out in North Carolina. You know, and you know, me and my sponsor have traveled all over the place. And I got to go to the World Convention last year. And it's just, and you know, it's just been so fun. You know, and I really do enjoy it. You know, and don't get me wrong, it's like, I do think about the other life. You know, I do think about the life that I used to live, and where would I be at today if I still lived that life? And I truly think I'd be in prison. A lot of people say they die if they use again. I'd probably go to prison. It's just my luck, you know. I don't think I'll die. You know, I think I'll be somewhere locked up, you know. And I don't know about anybody else, but being in jail is for the birds, you know. It is not fun, you know. Being there with a bunch of men, they all stink, you know. And man, that is not fun, you know. And so, you know, I kind of just been rambling a little bit off topic, but you know, I was thinking, I said, man, I'm glad that this workshop is on Friday night, so I can get out the way, you know. Because a lot of times, if the workshop's on Saturday night, I get to anticipate all that day, you know, and to that workshop's over. And so, you know, I'm really grateful, man, for the Houston area. You know, I know a bunch of people out here in the Houston area. You know, it's like my second home. My sponsor's out here. I have a lot of friends out here. And I just feel at home. I really do. You know, I live like an hour away, well over an hour away, but I feel like this is my home too. You know, this is kind of how it is. You know, I've learned to do that, so I don't know where my time's at, but I think that's where I'll wrap it up at.
Love you, Edgar. All right. Yeah. Help me thank Edgar for sharing his experience. Strength and hope. Thank you, Edgar. Okay, our next speaker is Victor T.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Victor, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Victor.
First and foremost, I'd like to thank the God of my understanding for another day clean, for the Narcotics Anonymous program, and for an opportunity to speak at HACNA. I also like to thank the committee for inviting me. You know, I thought about the topic when I got it. I'm a little nervous because this is really my first time speaking at a convention. But anyway, right. You know, when I think about anything about Narcotics Anonymous, I relate a lot of my stuff to the literature. And that's just the way I was taught, and the way that this program works for me. You know, addiction, the topic comes from the basic text. It comes from page 20 of the basic text. And it says, our inability to control our usage of drugs is a symptom of the disease of addiction. We are powerless not only over drugs, but over our addiction as well. We need to admit this fact in order to recover. Addiction is a physical, mental, and spiritual disease that affects every area of our lives. And for me, man, that's the truth. It also goes on to say our disease is progressive, incurable, and fatal. To me, that means that, like, I'm always going to have this. I'm not going to be recovered. I'm always going to be in recovery. So for me, I got to work on that, like, pretty much every day. And the way this disease affects me, man, it is on a daily basis is exactly what is explained in the book and in the basic text. There's a lot of different things in here that I feel that I have a need to touch on. You know, it talks about the unemployability and the dereliction and the degradation and the unmanageability of our lives. That is part of all of it, physical, mental, and spiritual, because I remember all the times when I was using and all the times that I was stealing from my grandparents, all the times I was prostituting myself, all the times I was doing stuff that made me so, like, deplorable, like, to myself, you know what I mean? I remember the humiliation. I remember a lot of things. And, you know, I was talking about this at my home group the other night. I have a step working home group. We work out of the flat book. We do all steps. And I was talking about how what I came through when I was a kid and the things that I went through, being sexually molested as a child by one of my grandmother's friends. It was a man. I talked about a lot of different stuff that molded me the way I am and, you know, brought me up through life to be what I came out to be. I mean, I can't change nothing in the past, but all that stuff that I did when I was coming up and I started using drugs at a very early age, it's probably like 12 or 13 years old. I was shooting meth in my arm by the time I was 14 on a daily basis. I can't count the number of times I've been in prison. My last bit was an 11-year stint straight. I spent a lot of time in and out of prison. I spent a lot of time on and off probation. I spent a lot of time just tearing my life apart and not caring about who was close to me. I didn't care that I was stealing tens of thousands of dollars from my grandparents. I didn't care that I was just doing things that were so deplorable and so degrading to me. I don't know, you know what I mean? It's just, this still affects me to this day, trying to maneuver my way with the disease of addiction through life. And you know what helps me, man, is this book. And I talk to people in the program that have gone through the same things that I went through. That's how I stay clean. Man, I'm grateful. I'm truly, truly grateful for the program at Narcotics Anonymous. There are so many things in here, man. Listen, before I really talk about anything, man, I listened to a couple people and I talked to a couple people about addiction. Some people broke some stuff down to me. It says addiction. Addiction is a sick psychological pathological reaction to anything with light damaging consequences, not limited to drugs and alcohol. The psychological being not make good sense. That means, to me, that means, like, when I made a decision to spend all my money on everything every week, that don't, you know what I mean, that don't make good sense. Instead of doing what I needed to do, which made good sense. And pathological means repetitious behavior to do something over and over again and not being able to stop. That's part of the compulsion of the disease. I suffer from obsession and compulsion. And this is happening now, even with clean time, you know what I mean? I go and talk about obsession a little bit. Obsession is a fixed idea or emotion that predicts, dictates, or controls one's life and behavior. For me, like the obsession and the compulsion were the main, because I couldn't stop using. I didn't know how to stop using. And, you know, I used for a long time, man. I hurt a lot of people. Most of all, I hurt myself. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm just now starting to learn to forgive myself and to love myself. And it's taken a while for me to get to this point. You know, it talks about in the basic text about how many countless times we've tried psychiatrists, hospitals, recovery houses, lovers, new jobs, new places. It talks about all that in here, and I've tried all of them, and none of them worked. The only thing that worked was when I surrendered myself to the program in Narcotics Anonymous, and I surrendered myself to working steps. That's what's helping me free myself from the disease of addiction, which does affect every area of my life. Look, the obsession and the compulsion, I get caught up in stuff still today. I just went through, and I'm still dealing with a porn addiction. Sometimes I can't stop, and that's part of the obsession and the compulsion. I'm real, like, sometimes I'm blatantly honest, and sometimes I'm just brutally honest. And that's how I have to be, because if I don't deal and talk about what's really going on inside of me, I'm going to a good chance that I might relapse. You know what I mean? But I know that by talking about it and by I read the literature, I try to do what people suggest to me. Even if I don't agree with it, I try to do it. My sponsor told me to get a teddy bear. I still ain't got a teddy bear. But hey, I ain't got there yet. You know what I mean? But look, listen, for real, Ray, like it talks about in here, the disease, and it talks about how it affects every area of our lives. I got an extra basic text here, right? And this basic text belonged to a sponsee of mine who is now dead. He had 7 years. He was living the NA program, you know what I mean? And this has affected me now, you know what I mean? And it still affects me today. He picked up. He decided to give up. You know what I mean? And what makes... We called him John the Miracle, right? Because of all the stuff that he's overcame. Me and Tony, when we was... I just took him to Ocean City Convention in Delaware, or in Ocean City, Maryland, in April. He died in May. I could see him slipping away, and I was trying to help him, but I couldn't save him. You know what I mean? Only person I could really save in here is me. You know what I mean? And that's it. And that's just the bottom line. And that shit really, it affected me spiritually, mentally, and physically. You know, because he was real close to me. He taught me a lot about myself. He taught me a lot about how to be patient with people. Patience ain't one of my strong suits. I can tell you that right now. It's not, you know what I mean? But I'm learning to be more patient with people. I'm learning to be more tolerant of people. You know, I was talking to my sponsor on the way here about an incident I had just last week with a guy at work. You know what I mean? And that's how, like, the disease will tell me, like, it's okay. Go ahead and say what you want to say. And sometimes I do, you know what I mean? Without even thinking, I say what comes off of my head. And I really ripped this guy apart at work, you know what I mean? Because you know how everywhere you go, there's one guy that's lazy, that don't do his job, and it's everywhere. Every job I ever been on, that's what it's been, you know what I mean? There's one guy that just doesn't seem to do what he's supposed to do. But anyway, I said some things to this guy that were pretty much out of my character, because I really don't go around talking to people like that anymore. But I couldn't stop myself. Then when I went to apologize to the guy, he didn't want to talk. You know what I mean? But I did try to apologize to him, but I should have never did what I did. And that's where the disease plays with my head. You know what I mean? I don't want to use drugs. I don't. I truly don't have a desire to use. But the disease will tell me that it's okay to do some other shit that's not cool. You know what I mean? That doesn't jive with doing, working spiritual principles into my life. That's what this program is about, is learning how to live a new way instead of the way we've been living in our addiction. It also talks about in the basic text about living at an animal level. That's where I was at. You know what I mean? I was living at an animal level. I was doing stuff that I'm not proud of, man, and stuff that I beat myself up with time and time again over a long period of time. I used for over 30 years. My drug of choice, my last drug I used was heroin. My drug of choice was PCP. So, I mean, look, I used everything from alcohol to Xanax. You know what I mean? And that's just where I was, and I used for a long time. And man, listen, this is the only thing that ever worked for me. Sitting here, you know, I was sitting here, I was in my room actually before I came here, and I was going through the basic text. I've been thinking about this topic like for 2 weeks now and what it means to me. And I think, you know me, I don't know if a lot of people will agree or disagree or whatever, but I know for me, every day of my life, addiction affects my life. It don't stop, you know what I mean? It talks about in the basic text about it's arrested. It can be arrested. That don't mean it can't make bail. For real. I seen it firsthand. There's another guy that I sponsored that died not too long ago. That's two guys in a row that died. And he was just, like, he was working his first step, man, and he just decided to take a left turn when he should have stayed to the right. You know what I mean? And I can't beat myself over what somebody else does. You know what I mean? I did for a little bit, but I don't anymore. Like I said, I'm just starting to forgive myself, man. I could go on and on about a lot of stuff in here, man. I'm going to touch on a couple different things. For me, like I said, Narcotics Anonymous is the only thing that worked for me, and it saved my life. You know, it says, this is one of my favorite things. It talks about obsessive behavior as a common denominator for addictive people. We have times when we try to fill ourselves up until we are satisfied, only to discover that there is no way to satisfy us. Part of our addictive pattern is that we can never get enough. Sometimes we forget and we think that if we could just get enough food or enough sex or enough money, we'll be satisfied and everything will be all right. Self-will leads us to make decisions based on manipulation, ego, lust, or pride, or false pride. For me, self-will is a driving factor in my life because a lot of times I'll do what I think is best for me instead of doing what's best for Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I mean? There's so much stuff in here that helps me through my daily life. I can't thank this program enough. I'm truly, truly grateful from all the stuff that I've been taught since I've been here. And it's been a short period of time. It talks about the progression of recovery as a continuous uphill journey. Without effort, we start the downhill run again. The progression of the disease is an ongoing process, even during abstinence. We come here powerless, and the power that we seek comes to us through other people in Narcotics Anonymous, but we must reach out for it. For me, that is so true because God, I believe, puts people in my life, like Edgar was saying about, he put people in my life while I was using, he puts people in my life now while I'm clean, he puts people in my life to help me get through life, period. You know what I mean? I have an awesome higher power. You know, I feel as though I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I used to feel as though I should be dead. I don't feel that way anymore. Right now, I feel like I'm right where I'm supposed to be. You know what I mean? This program has taught me a new way to live. That's not to say that I don't think about using, because every once in a while, I'll be riding down the road and I'll be thinking, like after work, like how, man, this little bar in Maryland or wherever, I see it and I say, man, it'd be nice to be able to stop and have one. You know what I mean? But I can't have one of nothing. I never had one of nothing in my life. You know, I'm an addict. I want more. I want it now. I want it today. So I gotta be careful what I do. I can be really careful what I do, because for me, to use is to die in more ways than one.
I know that if I use, I'm not going to probably make it back here. I'll be dead because I'm all or nothing. You know what I mean? I'm all in. I don't stop. I don't have no off button. I know me. You know what I mean? And I've been like that all my life. So what I try to do is put as much passion into my recovery and put as much energy into my recovery as I would if when I was using to get drugs, because I wouldn't stop at nothing to get drugs. You know what I mean? That's just the way I was. To talk about the spiritual blessings that I've had since I've been in here, listen, man, I got some people in my corner, man, that can bring me through anything I'm dealing with. You know what I mean? All I got to do is reach out, like it talks about in here, for the help, because the help is there. I got some really good people in my life, man. I've been blessed. My higher powers put some people in my life. I guess he put the right people in my life, what I need to get through what I got to get through. You know what I mean? I can only do this one day at a time. This only works one day at a time. There's no other way to do it that I've found. The only way that I've found to do this is by trying to work spiritual principles in my life and try to be a better person. That's all I could do is try to be a better person. And I try to strive to do that each day. I try to be a better person than I was yesterday. Try to learn by my mistakes. You know, I heard somewhere that a mistake repeated more than once is a decision. And that's pretty much the truth, man. If you keep doing the same shit, you know what I mean? Something's going to happen. Something's definitely going to happen. I got to be careful where I put myself, because the disease will tell me it's okay to put myself in certain situations, and it's really not. Because the disease, I feel, my disease anyway, is out to get me at any turn. It's waiting for me to slip up. It's just laying there and waiting for a little crack to get in, to work its way into my life. And that's why I got to be, it talks about vigilance is key in here. You know what I mean? That's why, look, I'm a real strong person with the basic text. I read it a lot. I try to do a lot of, I've been trying to do a lot of spiritual work in my life and try to grow spiritually. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard sometimes when you're dealing with other people that aren't in a 12-step program. I believe everybody needs a 12-step program. I really do, because, hey, man, look, life ain't easy as it is, let alone trying to deal with life on life's terms. I mean, this is the only thing here that keeps me going. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I love the literature. I really, really love the people in Narcotics Anonymous, because without you all, where would I be? You know what I mean? You are my family. I don't really have any family. I got a little bit of family left that I have made amends to, that I made financial amends to. I'm still making financial amends to the courts for all the money I stole from my grandparents. And I've been making that for years. I'm still making it. And, you know, the reason I get to do this, man, is because I'm trying to do the next right thing for the right reason, and I'm staying clean. Without staying clean, none of this is possible. Without Narcotics Anonymous, none of this is possible for me. Man, I've been blessed. I've been able to travel. I've been to San Antonio. I've been to New York. I've been here two or three times. I'm grateful, man, for all the opportunities that this program has given me. I'm grateful for all the things that this program is teaching me. You know, it talks about in here that our disease is so cunning that it can get us into impossible situations. It has done that with me. It can get me into situations where sometimes it's hard to get out. You know what I mean? And that's just the thinking part of it, because this disease affects my thinking. Sometimes I don't think clearly. I wasn't a good thinker when I was getting high, so you know what I mean? It talks about in here about not knowing how to live. I never knew how to live. I'm learning how to live now. And that's what it talks about in the basic text, man. It says in step one about being unable to control drug use, how do we think we can manage our own lives? I never knew about none of this stuff. Like, I was getting high all the time. That's what I was doing. And I couldn't, I'm just now learning how to manage my own life. Not to say that my life don't get unmanageable sometimes, because I can make it unmanageable myself. You know what I mean? I can put myself into some unmanageability real quick. Like I was talking about the porn addiction. Like, that stuff got away from me, man. And I kept, it was just like another addiction. It was just like a drug addiction. That's what it was to me. And I was going to that all the time to try to change the way I feel. Why do I want to try to change the way I feel? I don't know. Maybe I don't like what I'm doing. You know, I don't know. Is it the disease telling me, man, what are you doing? You're all right. You know what I mean? And really, I'm not. You know, I struggle in some areas, and I probably need some help in some areas. You know, I'm trying to grow spiritually, but it's hard to grow spiritually. I can tell you that. I seen some people do it real easy. Some people, not everybody. Or it seems to be easy. I don't know, maybe I'm looking at something or I don't see something that's there. You know what I mean? But for me, like, the only thing I could do was share honestly and then share my experience, strength, and hope with what's going on with me. That's the only way I'm going to grow. You know what I mean? And by trying to think in a different way, because always for me, my disease has been a thinking disease. I have to change my way of thinking, you know what I mean? And that goes all the way back to the beginning, because all the stuff I've been thinking and I thought I knew, I don't know shit. You know what I mean? For real. There's plenty of people around me that have been through this, and I've talked to people about my porn addiction. I've talked to people about other things. And believe it or not, there's people that suffer with the same thing. You know what I mean? So that's what's the most greatest thing about this program is, I guarantee you, if you think something or you think you're unique and you're suffering through something unique, you're not. Because I guarantee you somebody in here is either suffering with the same thing or has been through the same thing and got through it. That's what the Diversity Is program is, because it's great, man. I could go anywhere. I've been in other states and shared before, like, just a little bit about what I was going through. And people would tell me, man, I'm going through the same thing, man. You know what I mean? You just got to try to grow through. You know what I mean? And gave me a little advice. You know, it all starts and ends with me. That's where it begins and ends. And it begins and ends with me. How I treat other people begins and ends with me. How I work my program begins and ends with me. If I don't put my best effort in this, I don't feel that I'm going to get out what I should get out of it. You know what I mean? And for me, like, if I put all the effort in, I always think like this now. If I put all the effort that I put in to running back and forth to Philly and New York and copping drugs all the time, and all the effort I put in to get the next high all the time, which was a lot of effort, I could put half that much effort into this and it's going to come easy. You know what I mean? Not to say that, because every day it ain't that easy, because every day sometimes I just, like, I don't want to do it. You know what I mean? And that's the disease too, telling me, nah, you ain't got to do it, or making me lazy or whatever. Because like I said, I feel that it's trying to get me, and I can feel that, you know what I mean? But I'm not going to give in to it. I'm not going to let it get me. So, you know, the most important thing, I think, for me, I'm looking at one thing right here, and it says, good ideas and good intentions do not help if we fail to put them into action. And in a nutshell, man, if you don't try to do this shit right and you don't put your best effort into it, you ain't going to get nothing in return. That's just reality. That's pretty much anything in life. And that's what the program teaches me. You know what I mean? That I got to put my best effort in. Because my grandmother always used to tell me, good intentions pave the road to hell. And how true it is. You know what I mean? That shit's so true, man. It says for me to use is to die more often, more ways than one. I know that if I use, I'll die spiritually, I'll die mentally, and I'll probably die physically. You know what I mean? Because that's the it ain't really too much else I ain't been through. You know what I mean? I overdosed once. I've been close to dead. Dead. You know what I mean? And I'm lucky I'm here, man. And the only thing I got to thank for that is the program in Narcotics Anonymous and everybody in Narcotics Anonymous for helping me stay clean. That's who I got to thank. And my higher power. You know what I mean? Because without none of this, nothing that I'm doing now will be possible. The blessings I've had, I got a job in a union. I got a union job in Maryland. I make pretty good money. I'm not on paper with probation in Delaware. It's the first time I ain't been on probation probably in 20-plus years. I got my license back. I didn't have my license for like 26 years. Due to DUIs and due to other dumb stuff. Listen, the blessings are so great that this program has given me that it's unbelievable. Like I talked about, I got a little bit of family and I made amends to them. I'm back in their lives, you know what I mean? And they're really proud of me for doing what I'm doing because they know this ain't no easy feat for me. So, you know, I don't know how much time I got left, but in closing, I think, listen, man, I don't know. In closing, I'm gonna say this. It says, in our disease, we're dealing with destructive, violent power greater than ourselves. You know what I mean? Look. I know the power is trying to destroy me, so the only way I gotta keep on going, man, is by keep on doing what I'm doing here. You know what I mean? That's how I stay clean. I only want to be happy, joyous, and free, man. You know what I mean? And what they tell me is, how free do you want to be? You know what I'm saying? So what I think by me sharing honestly and by me spilling stuff out that bothers me, that frees me each time. You know what I mean? It does. It frees me up each time. Listen, man, I love everybody in Narcotics Anonymous, man, for real. I'm truly grateful for this program. Once again, I'm truly grateful for Hacknett for asking me to speak. It's been a blessing, man. This whole trip has been a blessing. Something that I really needed, I think. You know, you only got one life, man. That's it. You don't get two go-rounds. You only get one. With that, man, my name's Victor. I'm a grateful recovering addict. Thanks for letting me share.